Hey, everybody. This is Dave and Ed, and this is To the Death Podcast.
That was good. That was good.
You like that?
Yeah.
I've been practicing.
So what is To the Death Podcast?
That's just what I say before we start training.
Training what?
Jiu-jitsu.
That's what this is.
Exactly.
This is going to be primarily jiu-jitsu-based podcast.
We're going to talk about everything, Ed.
North Jersey Jiu-Jitsu.
North Jersey Jiu-Jitsu is a main topic.
Yeah, we got a great community that we've been involved in for over a decade each.
Well over a decade.
So I'm excited about this.
So am I. I've been looking forward to this, wanting to do this podcast for a long time. So here it is, To the Death Podcast.
Can I just push back on the name a little bit?
No. No, you can't.
I'm going to, because you realized prior to this intro that it's awkward to say To the Death Podcast.
And now you're listening to the Death Podcast.
Exactly. You start in the phrase with a preposition. That's
Listen,
the problem.
You're already, I haven't been in school for 20 years.
And that's why let everybody know that you came up with the name, and now I am pushing back
second.
On it. Is it too late to change the name?
I think that at this point, it's a little too late to change the name.
Fine.
Do you have another name?
I mean, no.
That's,
I told you to make the name, so you made the name. To the Death.
I like how you put it all
People
on
might think that this is just the Death Podcast. If you
it's
just said, welcome
to the Death Podcast.
Yeah, so they might just
When we're ready to train, I say, all right, everybody, to the death, go.
All right, so today is going to be an introduction of sorts. This is the inaugural episode. Inaugural.
Say that five times fast.
And most people that are going to be listening to this are from where?
I assume North Jersey and CORE.
CORE BJJ, that's your school.
Correct.
That you own.
Correct.
In Stanhope, New Jersey.
Stanhope, New Jersey. We are an alliance affiliate under Mario Hayes.
So most of the people listening know us, but this is just a chance to give our jiu-jitsu journey and then where we are now and where we want to go. So,
yeah, we have a lot to talk about, Ed.
We do. But is it going to be interesting?
I hope so.
So without further ado, this is the first episode of
To the Death Podcast.
And we started. So we're doing, what are we doing here?
We're just doing a podcast about all things jiu-jitsu,
but what are we
life,
with? What's today?
Community.
What's today about?
Today, we're introducing ourselves.
So who is Dave Ross?
I'm a 39-year-old.
39? I thought you were 38.
39. No, I just turned 39.
Oh, my God.
39 years old. Master's 2. Almost Master's 3 eligible. I have a wife and two beautiful children. And oddly enough, I met my wife doing jiu-jitsu.
Damn. Not me.
Yep.
Not my wife.
No? How'd you meet your wife?
On the internet.
On the internet?
I was a pioneer.
Ashley Madison?
No.
I was just checking.
That's illegal. We don't condone such things. I told you to wear the headphones.
I'm not wearing the headphones.
All right, I'll talk louder.
All right, thank you.
Is it louder?
So, how long have you been doing jiu-jitsu, Ed?
Ugh. You didn't even let me do mine. You told me yours. Nobody knows how many kids I have.
Finish. Speak
start.
Up.
Start. You didn't even let me start. That was the worst throw ever.
Start it over.
You're throwing this. You're throwing this.
Start it
no,
over.
No, I'm not starting over.
All right, then keep going.
Okay. Wait, what'd you say?
I
oh, you're 39.
How old I am.
People think I'm 39.
I know.
And it kills me. What do I look? Do I look 39 years old? Should I
take
that as...
You look 33.
Do you hear that? Maggie called me 33.
She knows how old you are.
I'm 30 years old.
I know how old you are.
Say I look good for 30.
You look fantastic for 30.
Thanks. 30 years old, I got a wife and two beautiful babies, just like you.
And a third on the way?
No.
Oh, all right.
Maybe. 2007, that's when I started.
I started in 2006.
Where'd you go?
Real World Martial Arts.
Oh, me too.
Before, it was Team Henzo Gracie Denville. There was no affiliation back then.
So what did they do?
George just trained under Henzo, and that was it.
What was he, a purple belt?
He was a purple belt. Somebody told me he had just gotten his purple belt, but I didn't even know what that meant at the time.
What do you mean?
I didn't know the belt system.
You didn't know anything about the belts?
I knew nothing about jiu-jitsu before I came in and tried my
first
class.
So how'd you know about it?
I was doing taekwondo as an adult, and it was the most horrible experience of my life. And a coworker who still trains to this day, Bob Bush. He told me to go down and check out George because he knew I wasn't happy doing what I was doing.
How old were you?
25.
2006. What were you doing before 25? You didn't know how to defend yourself?
Exactly.
You could wrestle, though.
I wrestled for 3 years in high school.
State champion?
No, the exact opposite. The exact opposite. So, but I really loved wrestling, so when I found jiu-jitsu, I felt like I just meshed well with it. It was the thing that was missing.
Because it's for weak people, too. Like, weak people
and
are good.
I'm a weak person.
Yeah, very weak.
Yeah. I'm working on changing that. 2006, it's 2020, and it's still a work in progress.
I feel like I'm the best I've ever been. Skinniest, strongest.
This is the skinniest you've ever been?
No. I feel terrible.
So you started in 2007? Where'd you start, Ed?
Henzo Gracie Denville. I think they must have just got it because I came a year later.
Wow.
So we saw The Ultimate Fighter. Did you ever see that?
I have seen The Ultimate
2005,
Fighter.
2005, season one, Diego Sanchez got a rear naked choke to do the first match. And then all my friends, we just tried to rear naked choke each other. We didn't know what we were doing.
I never saw The Ultimate Fighter before I started jiu-jitsu.
That's crazy. When we graduated high school, I was like, yo, we should just do this. And they looked at all the schools in the area, and obviously you had to pick the most expensive one.
Was there any other schools
in
the area?
Yeah, there was. Yeah. I forget where else. I think Yanni might have been there. No, I don't think it was there yet. I think he started advertising like the end of 2007. But I feel like he saw AMA. He was thinking about going to AMA in Whippany.
Yanni.
No, not Yanni. When I was, my friend was
friend.
Looking. He
okay.
was looking, and we could have went to AMA. But we went to Denville because it was like maybe 5 minutes closer.
Okay. So when you guys were looking at AMA, was Jamie there yet, or was that
Jamie? No, that was Jamie.
Okay.
Jamie was over there, and I think my friend's cousin, her husband, I guess it, she went to kickboxing at AMA, and her husband went to jiu-jitsu at Denville. So he's like, well, you don't know anything about the jiu-jitsu there. He actually knows, so I guess that's why we ultimately went over there. Anyways, the first day I walked in, Andy was there, and George wasn't even there. And we're like, yeah, we were thinking about signing up and whatever. So he had us come in a different day when George was there. But Andy looked like he was like 30 years old. And he's the same.
Andy looked like he was 30?
I felt like he was like an old guy, just the way he carried himself.
I want to say that he was probably 18
at that
time.
No, he was 18. We were the same age. He's like 3 months older than me.
So, and how old were you? 18.
18.
There you go. Andy and I got our blue belts together.
Yeah, he must have just got it. Like, he got it recently. But he was, like, teaching classes and stuff. And I think he was doing privates, too.
Yeah. George had asked me, and I turned him down.
It's crazy.
I told him
no. A year in? Because Andy started around the time you did.
Yeah, Andy started, like, maybe a month after me.
Yeah, so, like, a year. But that was later. Anyway, so Yanni had the class on Friday nights.
Yes. That's when my game really improved, when I started taking his class. That was his no-gi class. You know, Yanni only taught no-gi for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Now, he's all-gi.
No, he used to be all... He was all-gi about 2 years ago. Now, he is both. No, but he thinks his gi game's, like, way better. Like, when he rolls with guys in no-gi, he's like, yeah, sometimes they could give him a little trouble. But then when the gi, he's like, no, they can't do any of the tricks.
That's because you can be more technical in the gi.
Well, the gi, you just slow everything down. You just...
Yeah.
Did you ever roll with me and then I grab you and then you just can't move?
Yes. Yes.
That's because of the grips.
Yep.
The collars.
I know. No-gi, you're mine. There's nothing you can do.
You never even roll me no-gi.
You can't even stop me no-gi.
You never even tried.
We never roll no-gi. All right. You dodge me.
You'll see. I think I'm going to surprise you when we roll no-gi. I'm like a worm.
Like
a
worm.
Fat worm in no-gi. I just kind of wiggle around and then boom, I'm on your back. How did that happen?
You probably overpowered
me. It was half guard.
And
it was half
your
guard.
Weight against
no, it was half guard.
It was half guard?
It was half guard.
That makes sense. Finish telling me about your jiu-jitsu journey, Ed.
Oh, the jiu-jitsu. So that first year, 3 months hard. I was going every day. It's getting good. Got a stripe, I think. You know? I attended enough classes. And
is that how George did it, by classes?
Oh, yeah. He used to bring the card. He used to mark it with the marker. I was like, whoa, this is official.
I don't even remember that.
You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah, we were doing that. So then... The holidays come around, and I'm like, eh. Yeah, well, the way it would work is I went with my three friends. So if they didn't go, I didn't want to go. It was like I was being an idiot. It was just like a socially awkward. I was too scared to go alone. So if they started tapering off, and then I started tapering off, then in like April, George started the day class. So I used to go to the day class, and Yanni would go to that too. But it was in the gi. So it was awesome. And he had 4 stripes on his purple belt, I think.
Yanni did.
Yeah.
I was there when he got his purple belt.
No, I wasn't there yet. He was a purple belt when I got there.
That's good. So then you stopped training?
I stopped in like the summer because I wanted the contract to go up. So the contract went up. And it was the summer. I just got out of high school, so we're partying. And then September, October came around, and I'm like, ugh, I got to start training again. Because I was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I was great. But anybody my level, like a 2-stripe white belt, was killing them.
Sure.
Blue belt girls, mauling them. I was like, you think you're better than me? I was so bad. It was just like, I was just a meathead kid. I didn't want to be beat by a middle-aged woman.
Poor Joan.
Not Joan. Joan was pretty fragile. There was this other girl there. She was like a blue belt with a couple stripes on it. And I don't even know her name. She probably doesn't even train anymore.
Was it June?
No, it wasn't June. June was like, she had short hair. This girl had like a ponytail. She was a little taller. She was like, she had something to her. She wasn't like super weak.
Micah.
Maybe.
Kemmel's wife.
Maybe it was his wife. Yeah, probably her. Oh, that poor lady. You can't let 18-year-old me with. I had no technique either. I was just like,
oh my god.
I was like I am now, just like strong in what I was strong at. Just like I could squeeze you.
I wish I was there to see that. I mean, I was there.
You went to different classes, I guess.
I never went to a day class. I worked nights.
No, you went to the advanced class. I was in the 2-stripe and under class.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I was allowed to do more classes. What do you think about that?
I helped with the beginner class.
How do you think about that though? At the end of those classes, you didn't roll. You know, maybe you did like a live from the back.
I don't remember that. Yeah, I don't remember any of that. I helped.
It felt very karate-like because I went to karate when I was 5, and I was like, "This sucks," so I stopped going.
We had
like
the same start.
Yeah. So, but then I got to jiu-jitsu. I'm like, oh, "This is kind of like karate." Like the first half hour of class, I was like, "This sucks."
The hard-working part.
Yeah.
Remember how long warm-ups
used
to be?
It was such a long warm-up. Then you stretch afterwards, and I was like,
that was great. I missed those
warm-ups. Then we go to Yanni's class, and it's like, all right, guys, what do you want to work on? Not even a warm-up. Just like, what are we doing today?
Perfect.
And we would do butterfly stuff, and then we would do King of the Mat, and I would just get butterfly swept over and over, and I'm like, what is going on here? Just get flipped right over. Then I would love watching the blue belts roll. I'm like, God, these guys know stuff. It was Andy and Alex.
Alex had his blue belt by then?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were like rolling. I'm like, these guys are gods. Because George would never roll. I never got to see him roll because I didn't do the advanced class.
Okay.
So anybody with color on their belt, I was like, damn. So all
no
right.
No one trusts
Ed. Let's jump to yours. All right. You were starting 2006. You get your blue belt in 2005. Well, you started 2005, get a blue belt in 2006.
No, 2006 I started. Got my blue belt in 2007. All right,
2007.
At the Henzo Gracie Academy in the city.
In the city?
In the
wow,
city.
Wow, that's pretty
yep.
That's pretty
George
cool.
took us out for Rodizio after that. That
awesome.
Was my first time having Rodizio.
Damn, he was really... Well, you know what? That was a big deal back then. How many blue belts were there at the school?
3.
Yeah, when did you stop?
I went back to school in 2007, so my attendance started dwindling. And then in 2008, I hurt my back. And I didn't really step into a gym for almost 2 years. I tried coming
wow.
in a couple of times.
That's
I would
a long
do the
break.
Warm-up. Yeah. I would do the warm-up, and then I would have to leave. I couldn't continue. I remember there were many classes. I walked in, 15 minutes in, had to walk out, hunched over, couldn't even stand upright.
That's horrific.
I started going to the chiropractor, and
no,
that's
no, but
how
when
I got
you came back,
back on the mat.
Were you doing good?
When I first came back?
Yeah.
I was doing fine.
Yeah? You just
From
come
my back?
Back? You just jump in, and you just...
Oh, no. There was no just jump in.
Nobody.
I mean, I came back. Everything was difficult when I came back. I had kids then.
Everybody
I
had their purple
having
belt.
Having the baby on the side in the little car seat thing that would rock.
Yeah, but there was a lot more colored belts now.
There was a lot more colored belts then.
What'd
yeah.
you think?
I still did good. I did well. I mean, I remember after my first hiatus, I came back and I was still tapping people that I shouldn't have been tapping. And then... Just with life and everything, you know, little break here, little break there. Nothing as big as the 2 years, but then I'd start popping in and those people that I was tapping, that was not happening anymore.
Just getting
now
killed.
They were running through me and I was like, what is going on? Yeah.
When was that time, the last time you came back?
When that was going on, it had to be around 2009.
Oh, so once you were back from 2010, you didn't really take breaks?
No, then I took, I think, one more break. One more little break.
We had a similar thing, but I just didn't. I never stopped. You know, like, even when I was, it took me 3 years to get a blue belt because I would take breaks.
I got my
like
blue
3
belt.
Months breaks.
1 year blue belt.
No, three. So
what was your favorite promotion?
Blue belt had to
blue
be.
Blue belt, absolutely.
Blue belt had to be because, first of all, when I started at Yanni's, I came in, I lost my belt, so I didn't even have the two stripes on my belt anymore. And he wasn't doing stripes back. There was no stripes.
Mm-hmm.
You're a white belt. That's it.
I like no stripes.
So there was probably about 10 people. He had 10 students, 9 white belts and a blue belt. Blue belt Jeff, he just got it too. And he was a killer. He was like 200 pounds, strong, did knee bars. But he was just strong and, like, you know, half guard and strength. He would just murder. We thought he was a god. You know, he was like the best guy ever. And then he left and I just kept doing this thing. And Yanni had no blue belts. That he stopped training and he just had white belts. And I would come and he would be about to give me a belt. And I would take 3 months off.
Oh, my God.
And then when I came back, he punished me and just let me wait longer. So 3 years. But anyways, by the time I was still a white belt, I would roll with, like, Dave Longo or Derek Doyle. And they would just got their purple belts. And then Doyle would come roll with me. And he's like, wait, you're not a white belt. I was doing half guard, and he was like starting to let me, and then I was like getting on top of him. He's like, whoa, what's going on here?
Yeah. Purple belt, half guard, still wearing a white belt.
Nah, well, maybe at the time, because that was the only move I did. By the end of white belt, that was it. We're going to half guard. I'm going to do my one sweep, and I'm going to get on top. And that was it. Oh, and then I would pass, because I would end up in your half guard, and I would pass with an underhook, pull him up, armbar. That was it. I was like, I'm doing this game forever.
And here we are in 2020, still doing the
You know what?
Same
I really am. That is the bones of my game. 2010, Yanni had a seminar with Jamie, and then Yanni got his black belt, and then he gave out like 8 blue belts.
And you got one.
I got one. I was the first one.
You were the first one. That's nice.
So 2010, we're back at it. I felt good back then. We didn't roll back then. I was going to Yanni's full time since 2008.
When did we bump into each other again?
Long time. Because
2014.
When did Pure open up?
Pure 1.0. That's when before they moved. That's when we bumped into each other again.
Yeah, but we didn't really roll because I was just going to Saturday classes.
I went Saturday. That's when I first met Campisi.
Oh, Campisi? I didn't see him there. He used to come to Yanni's. When Yanni started the holiday thing before they had the school, he used to start the holiday.
Open mat?
Yeah. When he still had the green mat, so it was like 2011. So, you know, when I was a blue belt, that was the best I ever was because I didn't take any breaks. From 2010 to...
2011.
2012.
2 years, no break?
Nope, 2.5 years. Yeah, no break to purple. So I got my purple belt the quickest.
That's great.
Out of all my belts that I got it the quickest. I was a blue belt for only 2.5 years. And I was
a blue belt for 7 years.
See, that was the difference. I was a white belt long. You were a blue belt long. Yanni was a long blue belt.
Yeah, he was a blue belt for 7 years,
yeah,
too.
It's crazy. It don't matter.
No,
like,
it doesn't matter.
When I was a blue belt, I cared, though. I wanted that purple. Purple, like, that's where they say that sets the... That gets. There's no beginner anymore. You got some...
You're
advanced.
Intermediate now, yeah.
You're more advanced. Like, the upper belts.
Yeah.
You're part of that class.
Yep.
And it meant
purple,
a lot.
Purple, brown, and black competed together for a long time.
It meant a lot to me. So that's when I really started to notice a little bit about other schools' belts. You know, guys that started after me, you know, starting to get their purple belts. And I'm like, whoa. And then my ego is starting to come. And I'm like, all right, this guy's a purple belt. Let's see about that.
And what happened?
I did pretty good.
You did pretty good?
I did pretty good. Because those 3 years of white belt weren't a complete, you know, taking time off. I was getting better then.
Of course you were.
And
1 day a week, you're going to get better. So you did 1 day a week for 3 years.
Yeah, it might average out to that, but well, no, when I would go, I would go. Like, if I was on for 3 months, yeah, I didn't have that many classes either. It was just Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, wasn't Sunday open mat?
Yes, yeah, but I counted that as like,
okay.
I got some good work in then, 2 hours of rolling with animals, you know? So then, purple belt, right before I got my purple belt, I started competing, you know, because I want to impress Yanni. I want to earn it, you know? So George had the in-house tournament at the PAL,
mm-hmm.
the Parsippany. And there was only one blue. It was only Paul Sullivan. He would be the only man. It would be me, him, and Dennis in the same division. And me and Dennis didn't want to, we roll every day.
Right, yeah.
So I was like, all right, let me go up. I'll go up to the next thing. And it was Sunshine, Tally, my friend Corey that showed me George's, his uncle or whatever. The guy's like 40. I forget his name. Oh, man, what's his name? Adam.
Adam Wentz?
Yeah.
He's still there.
Yeah, so it was him. That was like our division. Then maybe there was one more guy. So we just did a round. I think it was just them three. It was a round robin, the four of us. And I went with Tally first, and I just did everything. Everything I wanted to do. Like
half
it was
guard?
It was the per- no, it wasn't half guard. I was doing the sit-up sweeps. So okay. I got him in like Delahiva, kick, sit-up, pass the sleeve, knocked him over, passed the side control, did a Bravo
choke.
And
he probably never saw that before.
No, he asked me after. He's like, what is that move you did?
Yeah.
And I showed him. And I felt good. That was like, that's like a picture perfect. That was probably my best match I ever had because I just pulled guard, swept, passed, did the sub. I was doing Bravo chokes like crazy back then because I just learned them. That was like the cool new thing. But I was in perfect shape. And those were 10-minute matches, too.
How much did you weigh back then?
For that tournament? 175.
Do you hear that, everyone? 175. Ed, what do you weigh today?
What do I weigh today? 204.
We're going to call it 205. 30 pounds.
I got married, though. I got two kids. I was young and hungry back then.
Are you
then.
Saying that that ruined your life?
Yes. No, it didn't. It didn't. It just, what it does is it puts the, it swings the balance way back.
It does.
When you
yes.
don't have a family,
priorities are
you
different.
Could put,
everything changes.
You just go all in on jiu-jitsu.
That's right.
And for months at a time, I would go all in. That's all I would think about. I would ask Yanni 10,000 questions every class. I want to lose the weight.
I believe you.
I would love to lose the weight and then do the same thing I'm doing now. Just
That's
squeeze.
Not
going to
happen.
I'm telling you I can
it's
squeeze
It's not going
to
happen.
Okay, we'll come back to this. Let's talk about how you got your purple belt. I'm purple belt now. 2012, I got
I got my blue in 2007 at Henzo Gracie in the city, and I was super excited for that belt. And I remember before I got the belt, when we would have a visitor from another school, I would just run through people like butter. Like blue belts from other schools would come in, and I'd be there with my white belt, my judo white belt with black electrical tape as stripes. Do you remember that?
Yeah. I had that, but Yanni stopped doing it, so I didn't have it.
Yeah, so not even a jiu-jitsu belt, and I would just run through visitors. And I really feel like I was the best then. I know everybody probably thinks about that, but I feel like I was the best then. And then I was at Pure 1.0 when I got my purple belt.
What year was that?
2014.
Damn, so I was a purple belt before you?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yep. I was training at Pure 1.0 before that, and I popped my rib. I forgot about that. I had popped my rib, and I had took time off to let the rib heal. And then when I came back, it wasn't too much longer after I came back. I feel like it was very quick after I came back. I got my purple belt.
How'd you feel when you got it?
For the people that I was rolling with, I felt equivalent. At
yeah.
that point,
that's how I felt too. I felt okay, but I was starting to let myself go.
Yeah.
Once you get out of shape, you really don't feel good about your game.
I didn't feel good at purple belt until I probably got my fourth stripe. Then I was like, now I'm ready for purple belt. And now I've been a brown belt for.
Well, you're skipping ahead. You're skipping ahead.
3 years, almost. Yeah, more than 3 years, and I feel
well. Tell
great
me about
as a brown
just
belt
give
now.
Me your purple belt journey. You do any tournaments or anything?
Yeah, so I did tournaments. I did some Grappler's Quest, Naga, and NJBJJF. And I got a silver and a couple of golds.
Damn, you competed a lot more than I did.
I used to love competing. Before, I would say at white and blue, I loved competing. And I think it had a lot to do with my age. And at purple belt, I didn't really like competing so much. But it's because I had commitments. I had responsibilities now. I have a wife and two kids, so I just didn't like competing as much anymore. I still did it because I felt like I had to, not for anyone but for myself, and I did well. I did okay at purple belt.
Would you believe it if I told you I love competing?
You love competing?
When I am ready, when I prepare for it.
So you don't love competing?
Because I never put the work in anymore. Like I should.
Well, why don't we change that? You're still young. What's your excuse?
You just said I was 39.
You're 30.
I'm almost 31. We're getting close.
30.
I know. I do want to get back into it because
you're a brown belt in 30.
I know. When I was a purple belt, I never competed where I was ready. Like when I felt like I put the work in. When I was a blue belt, like that blue belt tournament that I was telling you about, that was one of my most prepared. I felt good. I felt like I put the work in. I was ready, and I did pretty good. Got a silver, but at purple belt, ugh.
What do you mean? What were you at the Red Bank thing, Chris Olbeitz in-house tournament?
That was a brown belt.
That was a brown belt?
Yeah, so at purple belt, I think I only competed once.
Once at purple belt?
Once. I competed at Chris Civello's school. We did that sub-only match. I just went against the same guy twice.
Oh, I did see that. That's right.
So the first match, we had a draw. And the way that the system worked, you don't move on if you draw. You both just stay. So I went against the guy first time. What draw? I dominated the match, but I just couldn't finish him.
Sure.
Then the second match, he tried to do the over-under knee bar to me because he just did it to the guy before me. So he went against another guy, did that stupid knee bar from over-under. Then he was trying to do over-under knee bar to me, and I just swept him, and I did a Ezekiel from the back. And that was my only tournament at purple belt.
Silver.
No, I didn't get silver. I got nothing.
You got nothing.
Whatever.
At purple belt, I competed against Gordon Ryan.
Oh, yeah, that was that? Oh,
yeah.
What a nightmare. That's awesome, though, that you have that.
Twice, gi and no gi. In that competition, I did bronze and silver.
Really? Oh, so yeah. You faced him in the end?
I faced him gi and no gi, and in the gi, he kimura'd me. No gi, he ankle locked me.
Yeah. That's just a tough draw. I think he was on his way up.
I was so fat for that tournament. I did medium heavy.
Was that 181?
195.5 with the
gi
on.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, that's the reason I don't compete. Is because I'm so heavy, and it's not to help at all. Like this weight doesn't help. I'm not long, you know. I'm not strong. Like compared to people that are 200 pounds, I'm weak.
Right. Think about your weight class. Let me just give you a little. I believe Bones does the weight class you would be in.
God, that's savage. That guy is so much stronger than me.
He's huge.
And just like athlete. He's just he's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would cheat. If I was a professional athlete like him, I would cheat so much. I would never get any better at jiu-jitsu. I would just use my athleticism and cheat. That's one of the good things about being fat and out of shape is I don't get to cheat for that long. So most of my...
You do cheat, but you run out of wind.
Exactly. So most of my minutes rolling are on level playing field, and I don't get to cheat. And so I think my technique has gotten better over the years still because of that. Like, I haven't plateaued technique-wise, even though I take time off and I'm not in great shape. Like, when I was a blue belt, I was sharper at the things I was good at. But I had so many holes in my game.
Yeah, of course.
That I kind of been shored up now.
Yeah.
And I would love to see what my game could become if I just put some effort in.
Become consistent and lose a little weight, and you could be very good. Especially only 30 years old, Ed. Bless you. Only 30 years old. You still
Whatever.
Have plenty of time left.
Let's move
left.
On. So we're both purple belts.
Both purple belts.
You got your brown belt.
Well, when we were both purple belts, that's when we really started training together.
Right.
Pure 2.0.
Oh, right.
That's when we both started 2.0. Training together a lot. And you were coming to the class,
noon
class.
So wait, when did you get your brown belt?
Brown belt, October of 2016.
Oh, so we got it right at the same time.
I got mine
a little earlier. I got it in like August. I got it like right when she was born.
Oh, I thought you got it after me.
I think it was right when she was born. Right around then, I think. Either a little before you or a little after. It was like right around the same time we got it.
Yeah, right around the same time.
Because I would just follow Tally. Because Tally got his purple, and then I got my purple right after. Then he got his brown, probably the beginning of that year. And I got a little bit after.
When was the last time you rolled with him?
Long time. Probably at one of the open mats. I can't even remember. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Games change a lot from now to then. But he used to come up. So when he was a purple belt, him and Sunshine used to come up to Yanni's like once a week. They take class.
I can't recommend it enough.
And, oh man, Sunshine used to brutalize me though. I guess I got lucky at that tournament because... Right around that time, he used to come and train, and he would brutalize me in certain positions. He was so long, and he would grab kimuras and stuff, and I couldn't fight him off.
I don't know how. I used to roll with him constantly. We used to roll all the time. I used to submit him, and then I saw him at an open mat, and he mauled me, and I was like, dude, you're huge. What happened? He just felt so much bigger than me.
Yeah, he's really good. He's still good. Yeah, so with him, so that's why we both have that. So I would go to your class just to see you. I would go take the, do the, what is it? The pro training.
Pro training.
Then I would come to you, and then I was like, ah, I'm done with the pro training. I'll just go to you, and then we
pro
would,
training was no-gi, everybody. Ed does not like no-gi.
Not right now. At this current state in my jiu-jitsu life, no.
That was started in 2016, Ed. So for 4 years.
Longer than that. I used to love no-gi when I was a lower belt, white and blue belt. I was
175 pounds.
Yeah. Because no-gi is a more...
athletic game.
The pace is harder to slow. And I, absolutely. That's me. I'm a pace slower. I like to keep it nice and slow. What gets good about upper belts is it's usually a super fight. So it's just a one. So there, Yanni's trying to convince me. I'm out of shape. Like, he knows I'm out of shape.
Sure, everybody knows.
And he's like, come on. They're doing this tournament. We want to support Albright. You know, just do a show match with, what's his
name?
Ben Sherman. So I've known Ben a long time. We've been training together since we were white belts. He doesn't train at Yanni's, but he would always visit every year, a couple times a year. And I've always been, like, a little better than him. But recently I've been taking such big breaks that you don't know where you are. Both of you taking breaks. We both are dads, you know. So who took more breaks?
Who did take more breaks? You, but who won?
I don't know. Who could say who took more breaks? Anyways, so it's a super fight. So Yanni's like, all right. I'm like, fine. I'll do it. So I get there, and I'm getting ready. All right, I got one match. I think it was 8 minutes. Nothing crazy. I can do 1 8-minute round, you know. Easy. Then I get there. You know, I weigh in, 200-pound weight club. Great. I barely made the weight, too. I'm like, yeah, 200, I'll be under that. I was 200 on the dot for that tournament.
Didn't you have two fights that day?
Yes. I'm getting there.
I'm sorry.
I show up, and then I don't even know if Yanni was there yet. Albright comes up to me because I got there early. He's like, so, you know, this purple belt, he's got nobody in his division. We were thinking about just moving him to your division. And I was like, God damn it. No, because any round for me, I've got to put some kind of effort.
Yeah.
And 8 minutes is 8 minutes. That still counts. So I don't know how I drew the short straw. I go first.
Was it round robin or single elimination?
Round robin.
Okay.
So round robin, I get to go first with the purple belt. And it wasn't anything crazy. Not a crazy match.
But that's good for you. Your first round is your best round.
He pulled guard on me. Big time mistake. He should have never done that. He lets me skip the whole first part of the match. Now I'm like, all right, this is the best case scenario. Idiot. Pulled guard. I have to use way less energy to do my half guard, which is probably what I would have done. I might not even have got on top of him. Who knows? But I pass his guard really easy, and I get my stupid loop choke. What is that choke called that I do? That lapel choke from side control?
Oh, I don't know. I showed that on Zoom the other day.
You showed it?
Yeah.
I forget what it's called. It's some cheap lapel choke with your own gi from north south, and it took me maybe 2.5 minutes to do it, but that took something out of me.
Yeah.
And now I'm nervous. Now I'm getting real nervous. I'm like, come man. And they started the match like, they gave me like maybe 5 minutes. Like, all right, take 5 minutes and then we'll do this one. I was huffing. I'm nervous now. I'm breathing heavy. This is what happens with nerves. You let it get the better. It could even sap even more, but usually I like the nerves because they make me better. So the next match starts. Idiot pulls guard. What is he thinking about? Didn't he just see what I did? So he pulls
guard.
He's like,
that's not going to happen to me.
And anytime I'm in a tournament, there's always something I've been working on. And I'm working on the same side underhook religiously from half guard. I want to do a same side underhook, jump to the other side.
I know the move.
Yeah, so I'm trying to do this. But he was a Marcelo guy, so he trained at Marcelo's a while. And Marcel loves single-legged X. So he's trying to lift me and load me up and get under me. And I do what you do to me now is I figure four on that bottom leg and I just squeeze and just ride it out. And I was doing that for like maybe 6 minutes.
From the top. I don't figure four, though. I'm just pinching my knees as hard as I can.
It was pretty much just that. I think I figure four, though, because he was really moving me. Like he's good at that kind of movement and loading me up. And it's a lot of legs. And I just held on. And I just wasn't doing the pass right. I wasn't.
I know. We went over this.
I was missing a detail, so I couldn't pass, and I should have passed because I flattened them out. Anytime you flatten somebody out in half guard and you don't pass, you made a
mistake.
Shame
on you.
Yeah, you made a mistake somewhere. So I eventually did pass, got to side control, 3 points. And then I ended up, I think I almost took his back. I got like 2 advantages, and then the match ended. It was nothing. It wasn't a
3-0.
Yeah, it wasn't a good match. But
you won.
I did just enough. And it's embarrassing, just a match like that.
Sure.
For me, I want to. I get better. I could be better. So that was it. That was how long? That was like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
No, 2 years.
2 years ago. So I haven't been close to competition shape these past couple of years. It's been.
Well, you weren't in competition shape then. Let's get you competition shape.
But this is.
And fun. You know your matches don't have to be that long. You're a master now. Five minutes.
Master, yeah.
5 minute match.
Come on, get him. I'm gonna compete eventually. We got to get back in the gym. I got to lose some weight. I really would love to compete at 181 if I could.
Why can't you?
Ideally, though, I'm really a 167.
Yeah, agreed.
If I lost the weight. But
it's 168.5.
I'll do 181 if I feel the wind. If I have some wind, I'll do a 181. Hopefully just have one or two matches. Nothing crazy. I'm not trying to be a world champion. That's where I wanted to be in 2012 when I was hungry. I'm about to get my purple belt. I'm like, I'm going to be a world champion. Now I want to teach a world champion, and I want to be able to hang with him. You know, yeah. I want to teach him and be able to have a good role with him. But I want him to dominate me, or she, either one of them, dominate me, and then win a black belt. I want to win a black belt match. That's my ultimate goal. I want to win. I want to have proof on paper that I am not the worst black belt in the world because I beat another black belt who stinks.
I don't think you'll ever be the worst black belt in the world. You're gonna have your black belt tomorrow.
No, but I want to have the proof. I want to. Because competition is a different style. There's guys there's guys that don't show up, you know, but are killers on the mats. Uh-huh. And there's guys that you're like, that guy's going to do terrible. And then, boom, they just have the it factor.
Some people have the mental ability. It's a lot mental. Competition is all mental.
I feel like I have it, and I want to prove it. I want to prove that I do just as – I don't think I'm a superstar compared to – I feel like I compete just as well as I am in the gym. And I want to prove it eventually.
You know what? Anyone that listens to this is going to go, I never heard Ed talk that much before.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah. And they're going to be like, this is Ed for real, everybody.
And they're going to be like, man, he needs to shut his mouth. That's enough of this, Dave. You got to find a new partner. But that's it. That's the future for me. What's the future for you? What does Dave Ross want to be in jiu-jitsu?
I want to be a great coach. That's it.
That's it? You don't want to compete?
Oh, no, I'm sure
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I'm going to compete. But my goals are realistic. I want to do things at the Masters.
Like, okay, fine.
Yeah,
that's
Masters
fine.
2.
There's no shame
in
that.
I'm a step away from Masters 3.
That's good.
I would love to start killing it locally, like hitting the New York Opens, winning my brackets at the New York Opens. And I really would love to place at Masters Worlds. Place. First, second, third.
When is Masters Worlds? What time of the year?
It is August, like 26th-ish.
Okay. We'll get them next year.
That's what's going to end up happening, I have a feeling. I really felt like I was...
Should I compete at Masters Worlds?
Absolutely.
Ugh.
What do you mean, ugh? I feel like we were really killing it competition. Killing it training, I mean. You and I hitting a couple extra sessions that we hit.
We were on a little roll. We're gonna get on a roll again.
You were helping me close all my holes.
If you ever, you know, aren't working at your current job anymore, then we'll really be killing.
That's a real goal right there, is to get out of that job and to just do the jiu-jitsu full time.
We're gonna find the family balance together even better. You know, because I've been heavy on family.
Yeah.
And I gotta start cutting them off. They've had too much.
See, right now, my family is probably loving it.
No, but you know what makes it easier for me? Is if me and you can do stuff, can do stuff during the day.
Yeah.
As I love getting it over with. You know, there's nothing like getting it over with.
No, I love the evening classes. They'll always be my favorite.
No, I do too. But to get the work in, I'd love to get twice a day. That's what I'm saying. I want to build up towards twice a day.
That's the
goal. Because then you see exponential growth everywhere.
Of course.
Cardio, your physique, the way you feel. I feel like sleep
your
better.
Game. Like if we talked about a move.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the evening, you don't get to try it again until the next evening if you remember it. But how about you hitting a noon class and you're hitting an evening class? Now you're working on all your mistakes from earlier in the day on the same day.
Yeah, so that would be lucky for us. But my whole goal with teaching is that's why I want to teach so efficient, because most people that are training right now, they can't train twice a day. You know, they get 3, maybe 4 times a week. 4 times a week is fantastic.
Yeah.
If you are just a casual jiu-jitsu player and you go 4 times a week, you're going to get good at a rate that is, it's really a satisfying kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you really see the growth and it feels good when you start. You start rolling down a hill. You get the momentum where you start picking up multiple things at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not, right? It's usually just a trudge. When you're starting out, you're just trying to get one thing right.
Yeah. And well, and I tell people that. Focus on one thing. Get good at that one thing. Have one move from every position. That's the only way you're going to get better right now. If you're thinking about every move you ever saw, you're not going to get better fast enough. Think about one move from every position. And then once you go from 3 days a week to four, you're going to see your level skyrocket. Just adding 1 day a week. So if you're training 1 day a week and you go to two, that's a huge jump. But when you go from three to four or to five, that's where you see exponential growth.
Let's do it, baby.
Yeah, all right, where you want to sign up? Go get your credit card.
Where are we going?
Let's sign you up.
Where are we going? What school?
Core. CoreBJJNJ.com.
Where is that located?
Stanhope, New Jersey.
I thought it was Byram. What's the difference between Stanhope and Byram?
Well, it's Byram doesn't have a post office.
Oh, that's the difference.
That's
post office.
It.
But so is it technically in Byram?
It technically is in Byram.
But you got a Stanhope mailing address.
Exactly. 07874.
Nice. You got a website? You just said
CoreBJJNJ.com.
You got any multimedia?
At CoreBJJNJ. Everything. Instagram, Facebook, at CoreBJJNJ.
That is fantastic. You got your own school. You know, when you first opened the school, or remember when you brought me to see the place when you were thinking about buying it?
Nope. Buying. I wish. No,
not
I don't remember.
It, but renting. But you got a surprise for me after your class. We drove over. I was like, what is this?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, you drove me over. I was like, this guy's crazy.
Why is that crazy?
I thought you were nuts. It's what a risk.
It is a huge
to start
risk.
Your own, I thought you were crazy, man. I would have never done it. And you're doing great. Anything else you want to get through? We got To The Death podcast. We're going to start doing Ask Me Anythings, AMAs, podcast episodes. Right now, I mean, we don't really know where this is going to go.
No, we have no idea where this is going
to
go.
Any suggestions we're going to get? Feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. This is just another way to stay in contact with everyone. Just one more way to people to keep up with what we're doing in our lives, in jiu-jitsu overall. And it's just a good way
it's
for
a great
us
way
to sit
organize
around
too.
And BS.
If we want to do like, barbecues or some kind of parties, end of the year.
Announcements.
Yeah, this is a great way for us to communicate with everybody.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited about
and
it.
And even outside our little circle. If you guys hear this and you want to get into the circle or you have questions, now you know how to get a hold of us. If you think we sound like a couple of idiots, that's fine too. You know how to get a hold of us.
Yeah, I think if this isn't it, we're going to get it done next take.
No, this was a good one for us to start spewing out some information. Okay, you got that?
All right, that was good. We're going to shut this down. See you guys next time on the To The Death podcast. And there you have it.
Have what exactly?
That was the first episode of To The Death podcast. How do you think we did?
I think we did great. I think the people know a little bit more about us. And I know that some people already have found some of it interesting. And I hope everyone does.
Me too. We put a lot of work into just this first episode.
That's right. Nothing good comes without hard work.
And I actually really enjoy this. And the whole purpose of this is to just communicate with everybody outside jiu-jitsu. It's a good way for us to stay closer, communicate about questions we have about jiu-jitsu, questions about life in general, just a way to connect. Period.
That's right. If there's anything that you guys want to hear about, past, present, our thoughts on anything, send us a message. You can reach us on all of our social media at To The Death Podcast. That's Facebook, Instagram, both at To The Death Podcast. Or you can email us at tothedeathpodcast@gmail.com.
You're doing good. That's all of them.
Yeah. No. We have a website.
Oh, we got
you
a website.
Very hard on that website.
Yes, tothedeathpodcast.com. The website was available, and we have it.
That's right. Now we have it.
All right, so I'd like to give a thanks to Christina and Scott for early feedback that they gave us on this first episode. Any feedback, like they said, go to our social media. And I'd also like to thank Rob for giving us the music. Next week, we'll be doing this weekly. Did I say that already?
I don't know. All right. We will be doing this weekly. This is a weekly podcast, and stay tuned for our next episode where we talk about long layoffs from jiu-jitsu and coming back to training.
And how it affects you, and I'm definitely a pro at this. I've had many layoffs throughout my 13 years. When you come back, it's kind of like riding a bike, but you're just falling down a hill until you get beat up.
It's definitely difficult to come back, but you'll hear more about that on the next episode. So be sure and stay tuned.
See you next time.